and we'll make you a regular independent correspondent.
because I could, the listeners can kind of keep track like a story through a story through my view, you know.
All right. Well, we're gonna do that. We will talk to you in 2 weeks. All right.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you.
Be safe. And you are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That does wrap it up for another edition of this show. But let me just point out that the President of the United States pushed a drug that is killing more people than it has helped. He hasn't mentioned it lately, but Dr. Trump somehow thought he could convince the country. Why not? What do you got to lose? Well, you know what you got to lose? Donald Trump, people got to lose their lives by following your advice. We're out of here.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from People's Food Co-op, a community-owned, values-driven natural foods cooperative open daily from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. during the pandemic, featuring farm-direct organic produce from more than 30 local farms, bulk foods, and farmers market every Wednesday year-round, located at Southeast Tibbet Street and 21st Avenue in Portland for almost 50 years. Online at peoples.coop.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Welcome to Artek Bus Stop. I'm Emily from ROCA, which is Reynolds Gallery of Contemporary Art, and I have my other students with me, which are...
Hi, I'm Sophia.
Hi, I'm Juan.
Hi, I'm Esmeralda.
And we have Erica, our producer.
Hi.
And then we have our guest, Renee Sills.
Hello.
I guess I'll start with one of my questions. What is SOLA School and like what does it mean or what do you do?
SOLA School is the name of a program that I started and that's actually also ended. So it ran for about 5 years. It was the School of Living Arts. And this was a program that would train teachers to do adaptive and inclusive movements with people. And so we had a loose structure that followed a yoga teacher training program, but the stuff that we were teaching wasn't so much yoga like you might think about it, like certain poses. It was more the function of bodies and how your physiology worked when you were moving. And then we had a lot of practices that were focused on inclusive practices, and that means that we could meet people where they were, in what setting they were in, what clothes that they were wearing, and what their bodies needed. So we would train people to kind of understand anatomy and physiology and functional movement and injuries and different kinds of conditions that someone might experience in their body, like age or disability or pregnancy, but also things like race that could be a prohibiting factor in someone enjoying themselves or feeling comfortable in a yoga studio. So it would be important for a teacher or facilitator to understand like racialized trauma that someone might carry in their body as well. So SOLA School was a program that lasted for 5 years, and actually in 2018 it was our last year, and it has dissolved now, but it's still going because it still functions as a volunteer program. So some of our students have taken it over and are now running like a volunteer kind of outreach program, and they work with other movement trainings, yoga teacher trainings, Pilates trainings, dance trainings, stuff like that. And then they bring in a module on inclusive practices and adaptability. And then they place teachers in a variety of locations. So there are teachers at elementary schools, at high schools, at senior centers. We work with an outreach center for women and children who have left abusive domestic violence situations. We've worked with incarcerated people. So that program is still going on. And I advise with it now. I'm kind of like on a board of advisors and work with the students that have taken it over, but it's no longer my project.
Mm. Okay. So what are you currently working on since that has expired?
So currently I have my own art practice, which is very personal for me. Maybe I'll do things with it in the outer world, but I have my own art practice and I work professionally as an astrologer. I have a project called Embodied Astrology where I blend my interest in body work and movement and somatics with astrology. And I produce a podcast. That podcast has been going on for about 6 years. And I work with clients. I read their charts and talk to them about their lives. And then along with the podcast, I put out horoscopes. They're audio format, so kind of a podcast format as well. And some guided meditations and things like that. So that takes up a good chunk of my time.
Mm. Why did you get into astrology?
That's a great question. Well, I was exposed to it early on because my mom really liked astrology. She got into it in her 20s. And she practiced it kind of on an amateur level, but she would talk to me a lot about it. And she used it a lot when she was raising me. Like, I would misbehave or be, you know, moody about something, and then she would be like, oh, it's because you're this, you know, it's because your moon is this. So I learned about my chart pretty early on, and then when I was in my early 20s, I was in a relationship, a romantic relationship that was incredibly confusing and upsetting to me. So I started reading a book on astrology called Relating that's like about relationships in astrology, and it made so much sense to me and it was immediately applicable. And so I got obsessed and I just started reading about it. I spent about 5 years just studying, like reading as much as I could, kind of learning how to read charts. And then in 2012 or 2013, that's when I started actually reading people's charts and been kind of moving from there, becoming more professional or whatever I am.
Yeah. Do you make your money reading charts, or like how do you make your money, I guess?
I have various income streams, so I make my money definitely reading people's charts. I get tired doing that a lot, so I can't take enough clients to make as much as I need. So I also, in the last year, have started working with a podcasting host that offers sponsorships called Anchor FM. And that's started to bring in some money to support the podcast as well. And then about a year and a half ago, I started a subscription with my astrology work, and people can sign up by donation. So it's a sliding scale, I'll pay what you can. And in exchange for their donation, they get access to an extended month ahead forecast and like a printable astro journal that I make every month and discounts. Mm-hmm. So that's actually really started to sustain my work this year, just in the last couple of months. The podcast sponsorships and the subscription have started to work for me as an income stream. So that feels really exciting. It's the first time in my life that I feel like I've really had stable income. Mm-hmm. And I'll be 37 this year, so I feel like I've, you know, finally become a grown-up, which was taking a long time before with my artist sensibilities.
So. What was your experience like in high school?
I really hated school. I dropped out actually in seventh grade. Mm-hmm. I left and unschooled. I don't know if, are you guys familiar with unschooling?
No.
The basic theory of unschooling is that people are smart and they will learn if you give them the right conditions, and they don't need you to tell them what to be interested in at what time for how long. So unschooling, what they say is that if you leave like traditional school, then you need to take a year to decompress and deprogram. So that's what I did. I spent my eighth grade year like lying around on the floor and not doing much at all. And then I got really motivated to do creative stuff. So I spent most of my high school experience kind of designing creative-based projects. I did some theater projects and some traveling projects and some writing. And I worked with a correspondence program in Michigan that accredited me. So I was able to like send in my self-directed study stuff. They gave me a container for it. Like I had to figure out how to do social studies and science and math and English, et cetera. But then I was able to actually get a high school diploma. But I did a self-directed course.
Mm. Oh, do you have like any bad job or like bad job stories?
Mm. I worked in retail for one day. my friend worked at this shop that had like really nice clothes, and I thought I would like to work there because I'd get discounts on the clothes. But I really didn't do a good job at it. It wasn't a good match for me. So I don't even think I finished out my day or like told anybody that I was leaving. I think I literally just left and never went back. So that was a kind of a bummer.
What do you enjoy most about your work or like life?
I enjoy a lot of things about my work and my life. I really enjoy being my own boss and setting my own schedule and doing something that I find interesting and that I care about. I also think that astrology is really helpful. A lot of people have ideas about it that it's like a fortune-telling kind of thing, like, oh, you know, some witchy person is going to tell you all about yourself. But I actually think that it is much more like a very sophisticated and nuanced personality assessment, kind of like Myers-Briggs or something like that, and that it really helps people accept themselves and understand what their natural talents and gifts are, as well as where they run into problems in their personality, because we all have problems in our personality, right, and sticking points and struggles. And astrology is just a really generous and kind language to think objectively about yourself and your tendencies. And so my experience working with people, reading their charts, is that it's a lot like therapy. Like people will cry, they'll like have really important kind of emotional breakthroughs and be able to accept themselves and like see themselves, but also love themselves more and forgive themselves for things. And that feels really important to me. I care a lot about people and I wanna, you know, do good in the world, and it feels important that I spend time doing something that helps people. So that's also what I really love about my job and how I spend my time.
What's your favorite star sign?
Or like constellation? Oh, my favorite sign? Well, I don't know if I have a favorite sign because I think they're all really great, but I do have a favorite season. So astrology, you know, all the sun signs like Cancer, Virgo, Pisces, they're descriptions of seasons and light, the kind of light that we have. So I would say that my favorite season is like Taurus and Gemini season, like late spring getting into early summer, and that like when the earth is like exploding, you know, like everything is blooming and light is getting really cool and there are like baby animals everywhere, is one of my favorite times of year.
Something about like OMSI, like, right, you have a piece like in OMSI, or you did?
Yeah, I was the artist in resident at OMSI, the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, for 2 years, and that was a position I made for myself. I don't know if they still have an artist in resident. I just kind of asked if I could be that person. They said yes. So I spent 2 years there, mostly hanging out in the museum and watching how people were interacting with the space and how they were learning. OMSI has like a really great program for experiential learning with science. And then I did a couple of different projects there, but the one that I worked on the most was called Movement in the Museum. And that project involved pairing science educators from OMSI with movement educators that I curated from the outside world. So I brought in dancers and yoga teachers and other kinds of movement artists. And we would have classes, and the first half an hour of the class, one of the science educators would be introducing some kind of topic. So like how light and sound waves work, or how weather patterns work, or we had one that we looked at bugs and their exoskeletons. And then a movement artist would respond to the science educator and teach a movement class to embody some of the principles that the science educator was teaching us about. So that was really fun. It was, I'm a kinesthetic learner. I learn a lot through my body, and it was really fun to play around with different scientific principles through movement.
Yeah. So do you have anyone that like inspires you, that like helped you become who you are today?
Yeah, so many people are inspiring to me. Let's see, right off the top of my head, two of my biggest inspirations are both performing artists. And I'm thinking about Grace Jones and Laurie Anderson. I don't know if you know who either of them are. Grace Jones is a musician and a model and a performance artist. And she was, or they were like the first person where I really felt inspired by androgyny and like a gender non-binary and kind of a revolt against like, I don't know, Western beauty standards. And the way that Grace carries themselves is has been really inspiring to me just in terms of like a social presence. And Laurie Anderson is kind of similar. She is also a performing artist, but she, and a musician, but she's also an educator. Like her performances are really intellectual and in-depth, and she uses a lot of new media and electronics. She has people make different kinds of machines for her that she uses. And her performances are often really political, or they're very educational in nature. So I was really, still I'm really inspired by her work. Yeah, those are the two people that come to my mind first.
I have a question. We have had a couple of guests already, and one of those guests was Ryan Pierce, who does a lot of work about ecology, but in a totally different way than you do work, his oil painting. And so I wondered if you would say a little bit about your connection with the natural world and how that inspires your art. Wow. Or you as an artist?
Yeah, thanks. I love that question. I feel really connected to the natural world and also really disconnected from it. I grew up in the Rocky Mountains and spent a lot of time outside and was always like camping as a kid and have a really strong connection to the land that I grew up on. But then also, like you guys maybe, I've grown up also in cities and using technology a lot, and especially now, you know, I'm like attached to my phone and I work on the internet, and so it feels harder and harder to access nature. And the situation with the environment is getting worse and worse in the world. So it feels really important to me to try and keep connecting with nature and to do what I can to help other people remember to connect with nature and to love nature and to take care of it. So I do that definitely through astrology and through body practices. I think just getting in touch with our bodies is like a really good way to remember that we are nature. And a lot of times we forget because we live in our automobiles and in buildings and in clothes and with all of our devices. But it's pretty quick for most people when they just take some time to connect with their bodies to feel how disembodied our lifestyles are and how much I think most people crave fresh air and slowing down and natural light and the sounds of birds and bees and trees and things like that. And I definitely talk a lot about the environment in the podcast that I produce and try and encourage people to care about it.
Can you just say a little bit more about what you mean with, for yourself, what does it mean to be in touch with your body?
Yeah. That's a really big question. I feel really out of touch with my body a lot of the time, just because of all the things I said, like I'm using public transportation or in my car, or on my phone. That's really a big thing, like being in the digital realm. And so getting in touch with my body could definitely include physical things like dancing or taking a walk or doing yoga. But more than that, it's actually just like trying to feel my body from an inside perspective. So like, can I feel my feet? Can I feel that I actually have feet? Like I live in a body, I'm not just a brain. What happens if I like notice how I'm breathing? And most of the time when I take the time to notice how I'm breathing, I notice that I'm not really breathing. Especially if I've been doing the things that I do with my life, like looking at the phone or working on the computer or being in transit. And that like really simple, just checking in with my body, is also checking in with the pace of nature. And I notice that as soon as I can like slow down and breathe, that the fast pace of human life and urban life around me, kind of gets a little quieter, and I might notice something like a cloud passing or the temperature of the air or something like that. So, right, like our bodies are nature, and if we want to connect with nature, it's pretty easy just to, you know, look down or breathe in.
So, like, how do you advertise your work?
How do I advertise my work? I use social media. Mostly. Having a podcast is its own advertisement because it goes out on multiple streams and it shows up. You know, when people do a search for astrology podcasts, mine will come up. So that's nice that it's just built in. But I definitely use Instagram. That's kind of the main place where I promote my work. And I have that automatic function to post directly to Facebook after Instagram. I don't quite have the bandwidth for Twitter, but I have an account, but I never really use it. So yeah, that's the main way, is through social media. And I have business cards, you know, sometimes I'll leave them around, but it's also a lot of word of mouth at this point too.
What do you do in your free time?
In my free time, I really like to read. I like to be in my body. So I love to hike, and I love to take movement classes of all kinds. I love to learn. So I'm always on the lookout for a class or a workshop or someone who wants to hang out with me and teach me about something. In the last year or so, picked up a drawing practice again. I used to really like drawing as a teen, so I've started drawing and doing some creative writing. And then I like have the rest of my life, which takes up the rest of my time. I have a significant other, and you know, we spend time together and do stuff together and have a home to care for and friends that I want to see and things like that.
My voice. I can't.
Do you have any funny stories at all? Like about life or anything?
Yeah, you might need to give me some more direction though to point me in
just
what
like,
kind of funny story.
Maybe about astrology or.
Yeah.
Oh. Or like any embarrassing story.
Oh, an embarrassing story. I am sure I have many of them. I often feel embarrassed right after I put a podcast out because I go through a blank and I don't know what I said. Mm-hmm. And so my mind attacks me and it's like, you said all these horrible things or nothing you said made sense. And I usually feel deeply embarrassed for about 48 hours after something goes out. Sometimes I make mistakes like that are really obvious typos or I say the wrong thing. And then people who follow astrology, they're like, you said that wrong. And then I feel embarrassed. I can think of one embarrassing really embarrassing thing that happened, but it was when I was teaching yoga. So this was like maybe 12 years ago or something. I was showing people how to practice doing a handstand, and we were practicing walking our feet up the wall. So like you would be standing on your hands, but your belly would be facing the wall and your feet would be on the wall. And I taught this really early morning class. It started, I think, at 6:30 or 7, and I was pretty tired that day. And I thought I could do this kind of jump thing that would get me out of it, but then I landed on my face. And then I was so confused about why that had happened, because I was like, that shouldn't have happened. So then I was like, no, I did that wrong. Let me do it right. And then I did it again a second time. I landed on my face. So that one took me a while to get over.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
You talked to me earlier about both your parents were artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of art were like they into, like, or did they do?
Yeah. So both my parents were definitely artists. My dad he went to college for art, but then he went on to become a teacher, not of art, of political science. But he still is an amazing craftsperson. He was a painter when he was in college. He did a lot of like abstract figurative work, kind of, I would say, in the vein of Salvador Dali, like really weird, kind of trippy stuff. And then now he is a wood carver, so he makes a lot of wood sculptures. But he's also been a creative mechanic. He built out a school bus into a tiny house, kind of, but this was in the early 80s, and that's where I grew up, actually, was in the school bus. And my mom, I don't know if she would have called herself an artist, but she loved to be creative. So she was always drawing or sewing or making something, and she really loved to dance, and she loved the arts.
What kind of dancing would she do?
She would take off her shoes and twirl around and like close her eyes and sway a lot, and she always had a big smile on her face. So it wasn't a style of dancing. She loved to go out dancing, and when I was about I guess I was about 7 or 8, she met a woman who teaches a form of dance called Five Rhythms, and that's not a choreography dance. It's like no steps, but it's kind of working with different rhythm patterns. And she took classes with that woman and became close friends with her. My mom actually died when I was 17, and that woman ended up becoming my legal guardian for the last year of before I was a legal adult. So that type of dance has been around in my life for a long time. But again, it's not any set dance moves. It's just kind of like letting yourself dance, but in different rhythm patterns.
Renee, do you have any questions for the students?
Yes, I do. I think art is really important in the world, and I think maybe creative thinking is incredibly important in the world right now. So my question for you all is, how do you intend to be artists in your lives, no matter what it is that you do when you grow up?
Well, I'm always, you know, drawing like on my homework and stuff like that. And I always think of like, oh, what two things can I combine together and like make something out of that? Or we do drawing games sometimes when we go visit middle schools and like advertise what we have here to take, and we'll like fold a piece of paper in half and like have one person draw a torso up and have another person draw the waist down and see what we can do. And I just like I said, I like drawing, so I'd probably continue that throughout my whole life. It doesn't matter what I do.
Great.
Yeah, I think I will always do art in some sort of way. I don't do a lot of art now, but I do want to get more into it. But, like, art makes me happy, and I feel like it's always, like, a nice thing to do, and I probably will always do it.
Art for me has always been like a passion I've had, and so like it's something I want to like dive into like a career wise, like specifically like art therapy is something I've always been interested in, and like working with kids or like adults, things like that.
Nice.
Cool.
For me personally, I'm always going to keep art as kind of a thing to do just because you kind of think about it everywhere. And for me, I'm always going to be sketching something or writing something. So I guess that's my way of keeping it relevant with me.
Cool. I love the way that artists think, like the ability to put two things together or to look at something and sketch it or think about something artistically is such an important life skill. So I hope you guys keep thinking of yourselves as artists, no matter what other people call you. Just mm-hmm. always call yourself an artist inside, at least.
And Renee, do you have any, do you want to give us ways to find you and more information about your work online for listeners of the podcast?
Yeah, people can go to embodiedastrology.com, E-M-B-O-D-I-E-D, astrology. And I put out free horoscopes every month. So if you are into that kind of thing, the ones for Aquarius season just went out. That's January 20th through February 19th. And they are available on iTunes and Spotify and Stitcher and all the other podcast apps.
And then how do people find Roca online?
You can go to our website, which is art-roca.com, or you can go to our Instagram, which is Reynolds Art Show.
Great, thanks.
Thanks for inviting me to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming.
And welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience produced at a different location every week. Hey, I'm Nick Espinoza of the Deep Dive Radio Show, where we talk about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related, broadcasting out of the Chicagoland area on WHIW 101.3 FM.
And we've got a great show for you this week. We're still at home, still recording in the home studio.